sisters, as we continue this brief message series, The Art of Giving Thanks, we find ourselves today with, I think, an interesting and complex challenge. In fact, we'll find ourselves with the same challenge next week, too. You see, on my part, giving you a stirring message last week to remind us all of the need we have to give thanks to God, well, that really isn't all that complex, is it? And one would hope that when a message is given about being reminded to give thanks to God, that that would be well received. But that's just one message. The challenge that is before us is more than one message, one time a year. We have three messages, 3 weeks in a row. Our topic today hasn't changed from last week's topic. Our topic is still giving thanks to God. We're still talking about our obligation and hopefully our willingness to give thanks to God. Last week, in fact, you might remember that we said there are three necessary truths when it comes to possessing a heart that is willing to give thanks to God. We said first that we should want to thank God because there's no other person, God or otherwise, who is worthy of our thanks. And we should want to give God thanks because, well, He alone is the one who is worthy of our thanks because He is always good. You remember? God is good. And all the time, God is good, right? The third thing we said last week was because the Lord is the only true God and He is the only King, He is absolutely due our thanks and praise. We owe Him the response of giving Him our thanks willingly. And the purpose of our time last week was to defend a particular thesis. We said that we must possess a heart that's willing to give thanks to our God because He's worthy of our thanks. This week, our thesis doesn't change. Rather, we just define that thesis a little bit further. Here's our thesis point for this week. Not only is it essential that we possess a heart that is willing to give thanks to God, Psalm 29 now pushes us another step down the road and says, we have been called to ascribe thanks to God. Three times in the first four lines of this psalm, King David commands the people of God, those who are gathered together in the sanctuary of God, to ascribe to the Lord. First, David commands that the heavenly beings even would ascribe to God. And then he says that all would ascribe glory and strength to God. And then finally, he commands that all would ascribe the glory that is due God. And they would ascribe it to His name. So David says, give thanks to the Lord and ascribe thanks to Him. But the question for us today is, what in the world is the difference between giving thanks and ascribing thanks to God? Well, when we give thanks to God, the dictionary says what we mean by that word give is to freely transfer possession of something to another entity. So, for example, I could give you $100, Kristen. I'm not going to, but I could give you $100. I'm going to transfer the possession of $100 from me to you. That would be pretty nice, and you would say, yeah, right, okay. That's giving. Well, what is ascribing? To ascribe means to readily attribute something toward another person or entity. What do we mean by attribute? Well, so, you know, we have all of this stuff that happens up here on Sunday morning, right? and Jill could stand up here, and I could stand up here, and we could say, don't we do an awesome job? Isn't that great? But what happens up here on Sunday morning is not me, it's not Jill. It's all of us together, and frankly, even that, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. Ascribing credit where credit is due. It isn't us up here doing this, it isn't Jill. Now, Jill is incredibly talented and gifted, and we would hate to be without her. But it isn't her, it isn't Ross, it isn't any one of us, it's the Holy Spirit. We ascribe that to him. So to give God our thanks requires us to be willing to transfer what the world says belongs to you and me, things like honor and glory and fame and pride, and thanks to God, to transfer it. That's to give. But to ascribe something to God is totally different. John Samuel Bewley Monsell. Isn't that a great name? All right. He was an Irish clergyman and a poet. He famously transcribed the opening words of Psalm 29, that ascription language. He translated them this way. He said, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim. With gold of obedience and incense of lowliness, kneel and adore him. The Lord is his name." That's what it means to ascribe to God. I want you to notice four key action words that was brought up in this transcription. The first one is worship. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then bow or bow down. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim. With gold of obedience and incense of lowliness, kneel. And then the last one is to adore. What does it mean to ascribe thanks to God? To worship, to bow down, to kneel before him, and to adore him for all that he has done for us. This morning, I hope to demonstrate this truth to you, that to ascribe honor and glory and thanks to God is to be willing to worship, to bow down, to kneel, and to adore our awesome and loving God. And I would suggest that we should desire to ascribe honor and praise and thanks to God in this way, because he is always, always good to us. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, right? So I want to take a few minutes this morning to break down Psalm 29 for you, that we might a little bit better understand this mandate. We like that word recently, this mandate of David to ascribe to God. First, to ascribe thanks to God requires us to willingly proclaim that everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. Psalm 29 and verse 2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Hope you heard that. It says, give thanks to God, but don't view that thanksgiving as being forced to give up something that once belonged to you. Because no matter how great you think you are, no matter how great other people think you are, your greatness, any kind of greatness ever bestowed upon you, it was never yours in the first place. It has always belonged to God. It will always belong to God. Maybe you remember an old hymn of thanks. "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus as stewards true receive, and gladly as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give." The man who wrote this, his name was William Walsham Howe. Incredible names this morning, I'm telling you. He was an English priest. He's credited with having written these words, and He attached them to a very simple but singable melody. Now, it just so happens that among British faithful, he was known as the Bishop to the Poor. Or sometimes he was called the Bishop of the Forgotten. He spent his life in the slums of London. Think Oliver Twist. In the slums of London, preaching the gospel and striving to turn every dollar donated to him into food, clothing, and shelter for those who had none. I would say that Howe got it. Howe got it. Some people said of Bishop Howe that he went too far. In fact, he went so far that he failed to reserve enough funds for his own welfare. Ultimately, he very often found himself seated at that common table with the people that he was trying to bring food and clothing to. He was eating the broth soup and the day-old bread that comprised their meals. But I tell you that Howe understood it. He understood it exactly, completely, that everything we've been given, it isn't ours. You know that house you live in? It's not yours. You know that car that you love to drive? It's not yours. I mean, I'm speaking to myself. Even that really awesome blue truck that I finally have, that I've wanted all of my life and I now have, it's not mine. It's God's. These are his resources that he has given to me so that I can buy things. He's given them to me on loan as a trust. And he expects me to use those things for his glory, not mine. Perhaps the best way to summarize David's point in Psalm 29 is with a question. A very difficult question, but a question nonetheless. How are you making use of God's resources? How are you making use of God's resources? There's this great study site called gotquestions.org that we've talked about multiple times. They write it this way. They say the biblical doctrine of stewardship, it defines a man's relationship to God. It defines or identifies God as owner and man as manager. God makes man his co-worker in administering all aspects of our lives. The Apostle Paul explains it best by saying, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Starting with this concept, we then are able to accurately view and correctly value not only our possessions, but more importantly, human life itself. In essence, stewardship defines our purpose in this world as assigned to us by God himself. It is our divinely given opportunity to join with God in his worldwide and eternal redemptive movement. So stewardship is not God taking something from us. It is his method of bestowing his richest gifts upon his people. To ascribe thanks to God necessarily requires us to proclaim that everything we have belongs to God, and everything we have is available to God to use as he sees fit. Our plans with the things that we have got to subordinate themselves to God's will. He has to have access at all times to everything that we have and everything that we are. Otherwise, what ends up happening is we've just merely confiscated God's own glory, and we've deemed ourselves somehow worthy of possessing it. Everything we have, as that hymn says, is a trust, O Lord, from thee. The second way that we might break down Psalm 29 is that to ascribe thanks to God, it mandates that our ability, the things we can do, is useless. We are only made able because God enables us. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says these words. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing at all. Pastor John Piper, who is previously the pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, he described Jesus' words this way. He says, suppose that you are totally paralyzed. Okay, picture it in your head. Suppose that you're totally paralyzed and you can do nothing for yourself but talk. And suppose a strong, reliable friend promised to come and live with you and do whatever it was you needed done. Now, how could you glorify this friend if a stranger came to see you? Would you glorify his generosity and his strength by trying to get out of bed and carry him? Well, no. You would say, friend, please come, lift me up. Would you put a pillow behind my head so that I can look at my guest? And would you put my glasses on for me so that I can see my guest? And so your visitor would learn from your requests that you are helpless, and that your friend is strong and kind. You glorify your friend, Pastor Piper says, by needing him. And by asking him for help and by counting on him, we are really truly paralyzed, aren't we? So without Christ, we are capable of no Christ-exalting good. I want to ask you another question this morning. Probably an equally difficult question this morning. What is it that you have done today that did not rely on someone or something else? What is it you have done today that did not rely on someone or something else? For example, how many of you got out of bed this morning? I mean, you're sitting here, right? Okay. All right. Now, how many of you made your way to the restroom this morning at some point? Okay, all right. So you got up out of bed, you went to the restroom, you took care of what needed taking care of. Maybe you used the toilet or you took a shower. Hang with me, this is going someplace. And it might seem like all of that was accomplished by you. But what if we take a step back for a moment and we think about what it took for you to be able to get up this morning and do something so simple as use the toilet or take a shower? Think of the man who had to build your home, or the woman, I suppose. Think of the plumber who had to install the plumbing in your bathroom. Maybe you would even think of the people who manufactured the pipes that make up your plumbing, or the city workers that had to connect your house to the city water so that it was possible for you to have water to get up and use the toilet and take a shower. Now, you might say, Pastor, that is so far-fetched. Why would you even go there? Here's the truth. Even our use of the bathroom requires someone else. I mean, how many of you could plumb your own house? Tom could, probably. It might seem a silly illustration to you, but it so clearly and powerfully represents a truth we see in Psalm 29. We are called to ascribe to the Lord because he has blessed us out of all of his incredible splendor, the splendor of everything that is his, all of his holiness. And so David continues, he said, the voice of the Lord. It's the voice of the Lord that is over the waters, that is over the cedars, that is over the desert, that is over the oaks. The splendor of the Lord is all that we are and all that we have and all that we will ever be. And so David said, that is why we've got to be willing to ascribe to the Lord everything that is due him. Because without him, you and I are useless. We have nothing. But with him, we are able because he has made us able. So that brings me to sort of a final point. If we hope to ascribe thanks to God, as Psalm 29 calls us to do, you and I had better be ready to let God take all of the credit. You've all heard that old phrase, right? Let's give credit where credit is due. Well, guess what? God is always due the credit. There are some lyrics to an incredibly powerful hymn by Christian songwriters Keith and Kristen Getty. I've included them in your bulletin this morning. By the way, just a quick little side note about Keith and Kristen Getty. Because I think sometimes we think Christian songwriter, and these are people that, you know, we would never even know. But Keith and Kristen Getty, Kristen, got to have her picture taken with Kristen purely on the fact that they have the same name and it's spelled the same. So Kristen is like almost famous because she shares a name. Here's the words that the Gettys have written. It says, "My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. For I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. So I will trust in him, no other, for my soul is satisfied in him alone." If we hope to ascribe thanks to God, we had better be ready to give him all of the credit. One last question for you guys this morning. As you're asking yourself what it is that you are doing with God's resources that he has so graciously lavished upon you, I want you to ask yourself this question. Who is it that you are trying to make visible as you use those resources? Here's another way of asking that question. Who is the world seeing as you are spending or using resources? Are you spending, building, using, creating, enjoying so that people will see you better and everything you've done to get to whatever point you're at in your life? Or are you spending and building and creating and using and enjoying so that they see the one who made all of that possible better? You see, it was America's pastor, the Reverend Billy Graham, who once said, "You and I are not a cistern made for hoarding or holding. Rather, we are channels intended for sharing." Another great name, Theophilus Gale. I hope you're keeping track of all these great names. Theophilus Gale. An English theologian who was best known for his refusal of the Catholic Church and his sympathy toward this uprising movement called the Reformation. He once wrote these words. He said, "Whatsoever I thankfully receive as a token of God's love to me, I part with contentedly as a token of my love to him." Here's how we might say it today. Whatever it is that God's given to me, I am happy to give to you. Because he gave it to me in love, and I give it to you in love. Winston Churchill, Sir Winston Churchill, wrote just before he died, he said, "We make a living by the things that we get. We make a life by the things that we give." So what about you? Whose stuff fills up your life? Whose house are you living in? Whose car are you driving? Whose bed are you sleeping in? Whose food are you eating? Yours or God's? Whose resources are enabling the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to? Yours or God's? When you do the things that you do, and people see you doing what you do, who's getting the credit? You or God? Because Psalm 29 says, ascribe it all to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Ascribe to the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Who makes you able? Because if you're relying on yourself, let me warn you about the fall that is coming. But when you, as the Lord has said, trust him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, he will direct and guide your paths. When you lean on God, there's no worry of fall. Whose resources? Who has enabled you? Is it you or is it God? And if it's God, then let us ascribe all thanks to God for what he has done. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we give you thanks. We ascribe to you. We readily attribute to your name everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we will be. For without you, we are nothing. Father, your word tells us that without you, we are just a lump of clay. But when you pick up that clay, the hands of the potter mold us. We become vessels ready to be filled by your resources. And as Billy Graham so rightly said, are we then a vessel, a cistern that hoards what you've given to us? Or are we a vessel, a channel that shares what you've given to us, that gives credit to you and recognizes that everything we have is yours? Father, help us to be reminded that what we have is yours and it is intended for your glory. And so, Father, may every word we speak, may every action, may everything we have, all that we are and all that we have, may it be a visible reminder of you and your goodness, your faithfulness, and your provision, your constant love, and your constant care for us. Father, we give you but your own, whatever the gift may be, for all that we have is yours alone. A trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen.